Coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, this is Punk Brats, a podcast focused on the lives and experiences of our military brats. We didn't serve, we got served. Now here are your Punk Brats, Rose and Lisa.
Hey, it's Rose.
Hey, it's Lisa. Welcome to another episode of Punk Brats. Hi, Rose.
Not just any episode, Lisa. Oh. It is the first episode in our new season.
Right, season three. Woo-hoo!
Gosh, already.
Can you believe it? That's insane. And it's also 2025. Do you remember the day when it was like 11:55 on Y2K time, 1999, when we were all wondering what was going to happen when it turned over to midnight? Do you know what I mean? Y2K?
Yeah, of course. That actually is really significant for me because that exact time is when Craig proposed to me. That's weird that you say that.
How sweet.
You didn't even know that.
No, that's how... but the whole thing is that was 25 years ago. When I put it like that, it's 25 years ago.
Stop it.
I know. Crazy. So what's happening?
Crazy. Well, I thought we would start off by answering the question from Brooke from Dallas from the last episode. She wanted to know what was the strangest food that you or I have eaten while we were living overseas and if we liked it. So yeah. I guess I'll go first. The first thing that I just popped right into my head, I didn't even have to think about it, is natto when I lived in Japan, and it's fermented soybeans. But it's really gooey and sticky and gross. And I was spending the night at a friend's house, and her mom's Japanese. And so for breakfast, you know, we just have rice for breakfast. That's like normal. And she put this stuff on top of her rice. So I just went ahead and followed along, and I put some on top of my rice. And then I noticed it was slimy. Like, and then I started to think maybe it was spoiled, like, because it smelled so horrific. But they were all eating it, so I thought, oh my gosh. And I tried it, and I did not like it.
Oh, you didn't
all.
Like it?
No. And I had to do one of those things where it's in front of people, and you had to find like your napkin and spit into it without being obvious. You know, and I'm in eighth grade, so I'm sure everybody knew. I probably thought I was doing it inconspicuously, but
yeah,
I bet you everybody knew.
I think the craziest thing is when I spent the night at a friend's house in Germany, and we sat down to eat, and they looked like little miniature pork chops, but thank God my friend told me that it was rabbit, and I was rude. I didn't even taste it. I said, I'm sorry. I just cannot eat rabbit. I don't eat rabbit. And then the other time I went to another friend's house, an Asian friend's house, and the parents put this big old pot in the middle of the table, and it was a bunch of black mussels, like clams or the mussels, you know? Uh-huh. And I was like, is this dinner? And she goes, oh yeah, just dig in. I'm like, oh yeah, no thanks. Cause you know, I don't even eat seafood. I'm the weirdest half Korean out there, right? I don't eat any seafood whatsoever.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, thanks for that question, Brooke. If you have a question for the Punk Brats, or want to share a story, call us at 512-254-5989 or email us at info@punkbrats.com. And while I'm at it, visit our website at www.punkbrats.com. So, yep, that's a great question.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. So, by the way, did you know that April is the month of the military child? And I'm bringing this up now because the Punk Brats are going to D.C.
Yes, we are. Personally invited by the Stars and Stripes newspaper.
That's right. And we would like you to come out and meet us because military brats from around the world are invited to come and partake in some of the festivities going around D.C. honoring the military child. And also I found out that there's always a theme every month. Every April for the month of the military child. And this year's theme is celebrating military children and youth, building stronger character and relationships. So if you're going to be around the D.C. area, I think it's
April 9th.
I think it's April 9th. Yeah.
Open house.
We'll be there April 8th, and we'll be staying a few days because afterwards we're going to be doing some sightseeing and visiting our nation's capital.
And if you have any questions regarding the event, go to their Stars and Stripes website. I'm sure there's information on there, but it's the open house event at the Capitol on April 9th. So thank you to the Stars and Stripes for recognizing the punk brats. You see, Rose, not all military brats are just little kids. We're being recognized even at our age. So that's really cool. But hey, you brought up a really cool thing. By chance, I just happened to bring it up and brought up Y2K, but you said that your significant other, my awesome brother-in-law, proposed to you. Well, guess what, Rose? I got a surprise. Guess who we have joining us today? You want to guess?
I'm going to guess it's Craig.
Well, we'll see. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Craig, welcome to the Punk Rats.
Well, thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh, this is so cute. I got my brother-in-law and my sister together.
Well, you know, we were thinking Craig actually is a punk brat as well. Mm-hmm. My father-in-law was in the army, but that was before Craig was born. But yep. Still a military brat.
Still a military brat. Like we were telling Mark McKinney, one of our past guests in one of our previous seasons, he said that his father got out of the service like when he was not even a year old. But you know what? It doesn't matter because we always say, if our parents served, we served.
Still count.
Yep, still counts. So what do you want to talk about?
Well, what do you got going on, Craig?
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
Just working on an illustration for a skateboard fundraiser for a buddy. It's going to be kind of a Star Wars theme. It's a lot of fun. I'm drawing the Mandalorian doing a kickflip.
Well, can you tell our audience who you work for and what you do for a living?
Okay, sure. I'm a freelance artist, illustrator. I've been freelancing since 97. I was in the advertising business for a bit as an art director. And then I moved from Michigan to California and changed gears and went back to my passion, which is drawing. And I've been doing storyboards, and I've been repped by a company called Storyboards, Inc., who recently, within the last, I'd say, 5 years, changed their name to Ampersand. Ampersand because they do more than just storyboards. They do animation and logos and all kinds of good stuff. And I've been doing that. And some of my hobbies are music. I love rock and rolling. I've been doing that since I was probably about 16. So a few years now. And I also like collecting records, and I've taken an interest in tattooing. So I'm pursuing that. I have an apprenticeship at Faces in the Dark, which is a really nice tattoo studio.
Nice.
Awesome.
Dang,
and what's
Rose.
Really cool, you had mentioned music, which is kind of kicking this full circle, is that Craig's band, Cold as Life, has a show in Eindhoven, Holland, in the Netherlands, which is only about 45 minutes from where Lisa and I grew up. Mm-hmm. And so in November, we are all going to make our way back to Europe, to Germany.
November 2025.
And
that's right. Yeah. So, Craig, tell us about, like, what else do you draw? I mean, I know, like, you draw advertisement stuff, like stuff for TV, like cars and this and that, right? But you also like to draw album covers.
I do. Like I said, I'm really passionate about music, particularly like the hardcore punk rock metal scene. So a more alternative, I guess, underground. Mm-hmm. And so I know a few guys in a few bands, and they've reached out. And if I'm a fan, I'm going to hook them up. I love doing flyers. That's my favorite thing to do because I have the most artistic freedom. It's not so permanent as it would be like an album cover. I also do some toy design. I've been doing a lot of like bobbleheads, like famous musicians, and that's been keeping me pretty busy. But yeah, overall, I enjoy doing a good flyer for a show.
Cool.
And t-shirt designs. I do a lot of t-shirts. I have a buddy who has a company called Paul Bear Press, and they do a lot of horror themed artwork from movies, which I'm a fanatic of. I love all the old scary movies.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of fun too. You should check them out at paulbearpress.com.
And you've drawn all of my children's birthday invitations. I swear it's so awesome to have a brother-in-law who can draw, because I'm like, can you just draw this? Can you just do that? And he does it. Never complains.
I like to do a lot of pet portraits too. Unfortunately,
yes.
Most of them are Rainbow Bridge candidates, but I always enjoy doing those too.
That's so cool. So you talked about doing t-shirts, and I know that the last t-shirt you designed was kind of cool. You want to tell us about that one?
The one that I did for Dodge Ram Trucks?
Yes.
Oh, okay, sure. There was a Super Bowl just happened, and Dodge ran a commercial that had like a guy posed as Goldilocks, but he had long blonde hair. And he had to test out three different Ram trucks. And GSD&M, who did the commercial, hired me to draw some t-shirt designs that kind of like tied in the promotion. I'm not really sure what they did with the shirts. Maybe they went to the dealerships. Maybe they just sold them online. I have no idea. But I got to draw some wacky designs of trucks jumping volcanoes and grizzly bears and dragons.
That is so cool.
It was fun.
Well, I have a question. So like you said, like your father was out of the military before you were born, but being married to my sister for so many years and having my father as your father-in-law, Master Sergeant Jimmy Quintero, what is that? I don't know. What does it mean to you to be a military brat? What does it even, I guess, I mean, did it ever even cross your mind when you were growing up that you were a military brat?
Not so much from my dad's side, because my dad was pretty tight-lipped. He's not really wanted to reminisce or talk about his past, unfortunately. In fact, I just recently purchased a book that was like a tell-all question and answer. So hopefully I'll get some information out of him. But nice. As far as your dad goes, it's really opened my eyes to the military and they learned their mission today, actually. And I am really proud of him and his passion for the military service. And it's infectious.
I know that our dad, Lisa, has been a big influence on Craig, especially because Craig has a tattoo that he got early on with dad's rank on it.
I saw
it's
that.
Actually
That's
a
so
zombie
cool.
soldier.
I love it.
But the zombie soldier has a master sergeant rank, which I always thought was really cool.
Dan Hank, an awesome tattoo artist. Give him a shot.
Well, I think it's really cool that you're my brother-in-law. You do so many cool things and you're just amazingly talented. You're super kind and sweet and generous. And I love you.
Thanks. Love you too.
Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yes.
Big fan.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. So I guess we're going to bring up a guest here that, you know, Scott. Larry Scott Teekle is our upcoming guest.
Very cool.
You guys have that commonality with punk rock music.
Yep, and the horror theme. We love our monsters.
Yeah. So Scott, we're really looking forward to talking to him. He earned the Soldier's Medal. But it's amazing because when you look at Scott, you see this guy who's like this punk rocker and all that. But then on the other side, he's this amazing hero, this soldier who was a combat medic who did amazing he was amazing to save and do what he did. Well, you'll hear his story when it comes up, but thank you, Craig, for joining the Punk Brats today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Rose, you going to say goodbye to your sweetheart?
I'll see you later.
See you later.
I guess literally and figuratively. I too, Lisa, I'm looking forward to talking to Scott and, you know, just hearing about how he overcame his own PTSD and how he founded Junkyard Tactical, which is his knife forging company. So,
I know between the talent of Craig being able to draw and Scott being able to forge knives out of things he just finds here or there. I mean,
oh, and Scott also is an amazing artist in his own right.
Hey, Scott, I'm so excited to have you on the show. Finally, Rose, we have Scott.
Rose.
Hi, Scott. Finally, you're on our show and you're kicking off our season 3. We're so excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
Very cool. So we gave a little blurb, like a little bio. But introduce yourself to our listening audience. Start with where you were born, what branch of military you are a brat of, and take us through your high school graduation, just places you've lived, and just take
us
through
that. Who are you?
All right. Cool. So I was born in Texas City, Texas in 1969. And my dad was away at war, Vietnam. He's a Vietnam veteran, Army. And I graduated Waco High School, So I pretty much lived in Waco most of my life. Now, I went to elementary school in LaGrange, Texas.
Okay.
But then we eventually moved to Waco, and I graduated in 1988.
But you're a Texan. You're a native Texan.
Oh, yeah. Through and through. Born and bred.
Me too. I'm a native Texan. Rose isn't, but I am.
So there's no, so usually we ask our guests, or I ask my guests, how does it make you feel when people ask you where you're from? But really, you don't, I'm assuming that if somebody asks you where you're from, you just say Texas and it's easy for you, right? Am I assuming right?
I usually put Waco on there.
Okay. Waco. Waco,
so if Texas. Somebody says, hey, Scott, where are you from? You just say Waco. What?
Waco, Texas.
Yep. Not Waco?
Nope.
Hey, you know, one of my favorite people live in Waco. It's that Korean woman. Oh. Other than you. Joan and... Oh, shoot. You know, I say they're my favorite, and I don't even know their names, but they're on that TV show, and their husband and wife, and she's Korean. She's half Korean.
Oh, yeah, Chip and Joanna.
Thank you. Joanna. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Sorry if you're listening. You're in my head thinking of who you are. But anyway, yeah, I try to stop at the restaurant all the time when I drive through and never can because the wait is so long. But anyway, okay, no more talking about Waco.
So you graduated high school in Waco, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So from graduation, you're also one of our unique military brats that you actually went into the service. You joined the Army, right? Enlisted in the Army. So
I
did you enlist
the Army at 25? And I graduated high school and I went to become a commercial art and advertising guy. Okay. And that didn't work out. And I got married.
Yay!
I'm a first kid. So okay. Then I had to get a job. So I went to work with my dad at Brown and Root Construction at the nuclear power plant in Comanche Peak. And when we got laid off, I went back to school to be an occupational safety and health guy. And then I was too young to get that job. So I was like, you know what? I need to do something. I'll join the Army.
All right.
Nice. Uncle Sam came calling and you answered.
Did you pick the Army because of your dad?
I picked the Army because of the MOS I wanted. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to be a firefighter, and they said that that was going to be a civilian from now on.
Yeah.
I said, well, what's just like it? What's the best thing like it? Well, it's like you can be a medic. Now, there's combat medic, and then there's the guy that works in the hospital. We can't, you know, differentiate between the two, but you're more likely going to be a combat medic in infantry. And I was like, okay, cool. So I got what I wanted.
Now you heard the word combat medic, infantry, and you're like, cool.
Yeah.
Wow. God bless you. Love you for that. You know, I mean, that's why our veterans are so special, because there's heroes like you who really do it for our country. So, wow,
I did join the Army because of my dad. We're partial to the Army.
Nice.
My grandfather, my great-grandfather, we're all, Army. Now, on the other side, my mom's, you know, is Navy and Marines, so.
Wow, entire military family.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really cool. So
it goes all the way back to before the Civil War.
Wow, that's amazing. So when you were deciding which branch to enter, did you ever even contemplate like going into the Navy or the Marines? Like you said, your mom's side of the family, or were you just like, no, I'm going in the Army? That was just it.
I mean, to tell the truth, I actually went into the Marine Corps first.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And that was when I was eight, when I tried to join the Marines at 18.
Okay.
And then that's right after I graduated high school. And then some stuff went down and I decided not to join the Marine Corps, and I went and to college instead.
Okay. Wow. That's very, very cool. So, you were in the military, you're training to be a combat medic at this point, right? You end up going to do several tours overseas. You're deployed. Well, first, you weren't deployed yet, right? Because I remember just talking to you, you know, we're friends, so I'm just recalling from memory. You've actually served in Korea, didn't you? Which I always find interesting.
Yes, I did. I served from 1999 to 2000. one.
Okay.
In Korea. And Kim Humphries, Korea. Pyeongtaek.
Okay. Very cool.
I had a great time. I love Korea. I love the food. I had lots of friends there. I ran the Camp Humphreys emergency room as a sergeant. Yeah.
Okay.
I my first duty station was Germany, and then I went to Bosnia and Macedonia during that time zone.
Wow, you've seen a lot of combat.
95 to 98.
You saw a lot of combat in lots of places.
I saw combat in Iraq.
Yeah, definitely going to get to that. We're definitely going to get to that. But right now, let's talk about your younger years before you got to be that combat medic. Tell us about your interests, your hobbies, because there's a side of you that I know Rose and you have in common. You like do that mosh and stuff. Or the punk rock way.
Because in 1983, I was really heavy into Quiet Riot. And,
okay, yeah.
The big metal bands that were out there, and then
the influencers,
My Uncle John, who's younger than me by 2 years, my Uncle John, we had a good relationship. My grandfather, my grandmother on my mom's side lived in Texas City where I was born. So I'd always go back there every year for summer. And we spend like the whole entire summer there. Well, my Uncle John got into skating. Mm-hmm. And he was a skate thrasher. Right. So a thrasher is a person who listens to punk hardcore.
Right.
And then just thrashes and doesn't give a flying flip.
You can say whatever you want. This is an adult show.
Say fuck. It's okay.
It was a thrasher. So I got exposed to this thrasher mentality and these punk rock bands I've never even heard of. So like the first punk rock band I ever listened to was like Black Flag.
Nice. And Rise Above.
Early Black Flag. And then Misfits.
Nice. We just saw them not too long ago.
When I heard the Misfits play in 1983, I was hooked. Mm-hmm. I tried to find all this. Because back then, it was no internet. It was a mail order, you know. And I, you know, eventually I started my own magazine called Blood Slurpee Fanzine. And I drew like cartoons and stuff and did interviews with bands in Austin and Waco.
That name. It's so original, dude. I love it.
Yeah, it was produced by Glenn Danzig's Chest Hair. 1987.
So. Nice.
Fun.
And 1987 is when I formed my own punk rock band, the Casket Kids.
The Casket Kids.
And my best friend, Judd, who's still my, you know, still my best friend. I've been friends with him for like 40 years.
Yeah.
He was my guitar player. And when we started out, we played Baylor College parties. And I kind of sat on the keg and just sang a cappella. And he kind of like strummed the guitar. And then we got a bass player. Then we got a drummer. And then we started playing. We started writing songs. And we were like, we had like three or four good songs. And then we started playing, like opening up for punk bands in the Baylor College area. Area. And it was good.
So I have a question. So let's bring this all together as a brat. So you're a heavy metal guy. I get that, all that, or punk rocker, because I'm a heavy metal girl. That's Rose went this direction. I went that direction, but we all like the same stuff, you know, but I want to take it back to when you were growing up with your dad, being a military guy. You mentioned that you were young when he was in the service. He already got out when you were born, or?
Yeah, he got out. I think I was like 1 or 2 years old.
But you were telling us before we got on the show that you felt like you were raised always in a military home, though, right? Tell us about that experience with your dad, and tell us who he was.
Well, my dad is a nice guy at heart, and the Vietnam War really fucked him up.
Mm-hmm.
He was a light wheel mechanic, and he ran gun trucks or supply trucks on the road. I don't remember exactly where, but it was a road that was heavily shot at and blown up a lot, and he ran a gun truck. Sometimes he was the driver, sometimes he was a TC, sometimes he was the machine gunner. I guess when he came back, you know, they didn't thank anybody that came back. They spit on him. They, you know, they were very derogatory towards our veterans when they came home from Vietnam, and that really messed with his brain. And he had PTSD, severe PTSD, depression. He didn't get help for it, and he self-medicated with alcohol. And I grew up with a pretty much alcoholic dad. Now, when he was sober, man, I loved him.
Right.
I mean, I loved him no matter what. But he became a different person while on alcohol. And it's sad that it wasn't until like recently when I retired that I got him to seek help and to get rid of the depression and not so much having to self-medicate. And I think he's better for it now, and he understands what he did, you know, and how he made mistakes. And, you know, I've forgiven him for all the stupid junkies.
The reason I ask is because we're highlighting you. First of all, Scott, you are our season 3 guest opener, kickoff. So thank you for, opening up our season for us and sharing your story with us. We wanted to highlight, you know, we've spent the last 2 seasons talking about the fun times of being a military brat, but we've never really highlighted military brats who've raised in homes whose parents have serious PTSD, you know? And so, Rose and I, you know, we we're sorry for that, but you know what? We're so happy that, you know, you and your dad could come together though. And that goes into you telling us about your military career. Tell us the story of,
I think that, I'll get to that, but I think that me being in the Army and doing 20 years worth of it instead of just like 2 years, like my dad did, I came away with a unique perspective. He was kind of like he's the boomer. That's not a derogatory term. My grandfather came home from World War II. He got my grandma pregnant. And that's my dad. Okay. So they grew up not showing emotion and pushing it all down and not talking about it and suffering in silence. And I, on the other hand, I'm vocal. I'm a talker, and talk about my shit. And I tried to get my dad to do the same thing, and it was hard at first, but he's come around.
Thank you, Scott, so much for sharing about your dad's PTSD and the role that it played in you growing up as a military brat. And this is going to bring us to me asking you about your own PTSD and your own experiences being deployed. So you were awarded the Soldier's Medal for putting out a fuel fire that covered Specialist Heredia. Am I pronouncing that right? Heredia. Yeah. Can you just walk us through that moment real quick and what was going through your mind through that incident and you receiving the Soldier's Medal and what it means to you?
Yeah. And please tell us what the Soldier's Medal is for those who don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So the Soldier's Medal is the highest award you can get for valor in a non-combat setting. Even though I got the Soldier's Medal because of my actions in Iraq, it had no bearing on it. It was the situation. I was outside. I had smoking a cigarette in the smoking area outside my aid station, and I saw this smoke. And I looked up and I thought, you know what? The smoke, the Alpha Company barracks are on fire again. And I was joking because they, you know, the electricity over in Iraq is whack.
Mm-hmm.
And you can turn something on, you can start a fire. So then I heard a scream. I heard a blood-curdling scream, the worst I've ever heard in my life. And so I ran toward it, you know. And I wasn't thinking. I was thinking about helping. I ran into a wall of fire. Biggest fire I've ever seen in my entire life. And Marisol Heredia came out of that fire covered in fire. covered in fuel from a generator that had dumped it all on her because the static discharge plate was turned off. And so it caused a explosion and it dumped all the diesel fuel on her body. And so I just kept running towards her. I was yelling at her to stop, drop, and roll. And it didn't work. And then I finally got to her and I was yelling for a fire extinguisher. I was yelling for a blanket. I was yelling for all kinds of shit. And nobody was listening to me. Nobody would do anything. And I grabbed one of my medics that was up there with me. I said, go get a fire extinguisher and come back. And I was on top of her, smashing the flames out. Well, diesel fire reignites because it's really hot. So I thought I would put a piece of the flame out and it would just reignite when I went to something else. So I just kind of like put my whole entire body on her and I smashed the flames out the best I could. And as soon as I had the fire out, you know, I scooped her up. I told her to get up because she still had access to her boots. Her clothes were burnt off and she had like 85% of her body was third degree burns. 15% of my body was second degree burns. And we made it to the aid station. I got her on the, by then they knew what was going on and they had prepared a bed for her. And, the general surgeon, the brigade surgeon took over and the other medics were in the aid station, kind of took over and separated me from the incident.
Yeah.
And my lieutenant grabbed me and put me in another room and was like, I gotta treat your wounds. And I was like, I don't have no wounds. And I looked down and I was like, oh, I do.
Oh my gosh.
I do have wounds.
Man. Wow. So you both got sent back to the United States and that's where she passed away.
Yeah. And I have a detailed story in a book that's coming out and one day it's going to get published because, you know, all I got to left is the editing, but that story is really more in depth than, well,
what I said. So you talking about your dad having PTSD and you having PTSD with fire. Tell us about Junkyard Tactical, how you came to create that to deal with your PTSD.
So at the end, like the last few years of my career, I was having a really hard time because I've just been pushing everything down. And when, you know, soldiers push things down into this hole. I call it the hole. It's the black hole. And you just push all these emotions, all this fear, all this trauma, everything that's bad. You push it down and you just forget about it and move on and you go to the next mission and so on and so on. And it just erupted like a volcano and I had to go get help. And I went and sought help from, you know, a mental health facility. While as a soldier on active duty, I was sergeant first class at the time. And I found this thing called Strong Star, and I enrolled in Strong Star, which is a immersion therapy. Mm-hmm. And the counselor took me through she's like, select one thing that makes you makes the worst thing. Just select the worst thing that's ever happened to you. And so I told that story, and then so you record yourself telling that story from beginning to end, and then you tell that story again and again, every time, and you're videotaped and you're using a microphone, you're recording yourself talking about it. Pretty soon that story becomes like a book in your brain that you can just put on a shelf in your mind and access it when you want to and not have to access it all the time, you know? And when I first got back from Iraq in 2007, after the incident, the big PTSD, visions, hallucinations. I would see a young female that looked kind of like Marisol, and they would just erupt in flames, and their hair would be on fire. And I just couldn't take that. You shut your eyes and you shake your head, and you're like, "Ugh." And then I didn't tell anybody. Why would you tell anybody? You tell your first sergeant commander that you're hallucinating, and what are they going to do? They're going to kick you out of the Army. So the stigma is, you don't say nothing. You just push it down. So you push it down, push it down, push it down. Pretty soon that hole fills up and it's bad. But anyway, so back to Strong Star. Strong Star, again.
Well, Junkyard Tactical.
Yeah, so I'm getting to that.
I'm sorry.
So Junkyard Tactical came about as homework for Strong Star because I wasn't a fire guy. I didn't cook out. I didn't have a fireplace. I stayed away from fire. And what I did was I just made a fire one day. And, you know, I'm an artist by heart. So I watched Forge and Fire, and my dad is a knife maker. And so I just got the thing where I got this thought in my head that I can control fire. And fire doesn't have to have the power over me that it does. So if I control fire, I can make something beautiful out of it. I could make knives. I can make metal stuff. I can build a forge myself and make knives because I just like knives. And I started making these knives and people were like, oh, you made that? And I was like, yeah, I made it. And then they asked me, you know, Is that for sale? And I was like, well, yeah, it's for sale. I mean, I can't just keep making knives and it's stacking up in my garage. So I started Junkyard Tactical. Junkyard Tactical is like it's kind of an inside joke because the vet bros out there, they're starting their businesses when they were getting out after Iraq was over with in 2011. And they were like, you know, everything was tactical this and tactical that. And then I was like, yeah, Junkyard Tactical. You know,
I like that.
Frankenstein making knives junk and stuff. That's me right there, you know.
You make some really cool stuff. Well, yeah. I love your knives.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of your cool, cool knives, have you ever created something so cool you didn't want to sell it?
Yes.
That's awesome.
I gave it away.
Okay.
Oh, you still gave it away? Oh, you didn't sell it. You gave it away. Okay.
I gave it to you.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Wait. When you say you, Rose or Lisa?
I gave it to...
gave it to Craig, right? That big old axe?
Is it for the hats off for veterans?
Yeah, the hats off for veterans. No, there was the 9/11 memorial axe.
Nice. That was beautiful.
Wow. That was beautiful.
It has a piece of the 9/11 metal. In the handle. Yeah.
Your stuff is very unique. And just like Scott says, if you go to his Instagram, and we'll get to that when we're closing out here, he can share all that contact information and his website information. But Scott, I wish we had a lot of time in the world to talk with you. I'm really happy that we got to get through your childhood, a little bit about your dad. I love that you and your father, like I said, y'all have this, I don't mean to say it. I don't know. It comes out weird. Not that y'all have PTSD in common, but the fact that you guys have come full circle, that as father and son, you guys have this together. You know, you're not alone.
We have a camaraderie.
Yes.
Army being the factor that brought us together.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing your story with us. And I just find it really, really cool that, you know, you started off this interview saying that you wanted to be a firefighter.
Yeah.
And then it all comes to back. And it's just amazing how, you know, life works and the path life takes us. You're a firefighter in a different way. You are a fire controller. You control the fire instead of letting the fire control you. And I find that fascinating. Thank you for your service. Thank you for all you've done. Everything. We really appreciate it.
And you deserve that soldier's medal. 100%. 100%.
Thank you.
100%.
Hey, guess what, you guys? It's time for the lightning round.
Hey.
Yes.
Well, Scott, this is really my favorite part of the podcast because this is where our audience gets to know you by me just asking you some random questions and just whatever comes to your head.
All right, got it.
Are you ready for this? Okay, here we go. So what's the weirdest thing you've ever had to use duct tape for in the military?
I'm fixing a tent.
Okay. What was the last song you listened to?
Pass.
Of all the Universal monsters, which would make the best drill sergeant?
Frankenstein.
For sure. What is the worst MRE ever?
Omelet.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. What is the first horror movie you have ever watched?
Nosferatu. 1929.
Oh, wow. Very cool. Not in 1929. If you could forge a knife for anyone famous or infamous, living or dead, who would it be?
Trump.
Would you rather have Dracula or the Wolfman as your battle buddy?
Wolfman.
Which branch of the military would Frankenstein's monster join?
The Army.
Okay, if aliens came to Earth and demanded a crash course in punk rock, which band would you tell them to listen to?
Pass.
Okay, I asked you what the worst MRE is, so what's the best MRE?
Well, universally, Chili Mac.
Okay. And then the one that you passed on, what was the last song you listened to?
That was, I don't remember the name of the song, but it was, I listened to the whole Death Before Dishonor album.
Okay, ooh, good one. And I think you answered all of them. Did we get through?
If aliens come to Earth.
Oh, yeah. If aliens came to Earth and demanded a crash course in punk rock, what band would you tell them to listen to?
Early Agnostic Front.
Nice.
That's so cool, because I was going to say I would have chosen Agnostic Front,
yay!
Too.
You got through their lightning round.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Oh, my gosh. Time goes by so fast. Wow. So you survived this lightning round. What'd you think of that?
Those good questions. Those questions seemed like they were pretty much dead on me.
That's what I love about my sister's questions. My sister always asks questions around the guest, and I love that. And she never tells me what they're going to be, so I'm just as surprised. So we got to close this out. So you guys, Scott, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you, where they can go look at your knives, how they can order your knives. Pretty much how can they get in touch with you?
So I have two places. I have X account, which is Junkyard Tactic, and Instagram, which is Junkyard Tactical. I do most of my business on the DM. So if you follow me on one of those, like X or Instagram, you just send me a DM and we'll get the ball rolling, because everything I do is one of a kind and everything is commissioned work. Sometimes I have stuff that I haven't been able to sell, or I haven't sold, or I made that was really cool, and I put it out there on Instagram most of the time to sell. And that's also, just give me a DM and I'll hook you up.
Cool.
Awesome.
Well, thank you, Scott, so much for your time on the Punk Brats. And for your service. You're an amazing hero to me and all of America. And America knows that because you have the Soldier's Medal to prove it.
I love you too.
Oh, thank you. So here on Punk Brats, we never say goodbye. We always say, see you later. So see you later, Scott.
All right. See you later.
See you later. Wow. Oh my gosh. I've got goosebumps. What a great, great interview with Scott, and to hear what he had to endure and go through, you know, I can't even imagine, Rose.
I can't either. And, you know, we are personal friends with him, but still every time we hear the story, it still is just so traumatic.
Rose, I get a burn from my curling iron on my ear, or I get a paper cut, I cry. Can you imagine being burned on your body and then jumping on somebody? You know what I mean? Like what he had to do, and God bless her, but she'll never be forgotten. Marisol will never be forgotten.
No, we'll never let her be forgotten. Never.
Thank you, Scott, for sharing your personal stories with us. You're an amazing brat, amazing veteran. Thank you for all that you do. And wow, what a great season opener. We had your husband. We had a Soldier's Medal recipient, Scott. You know, Scott. Yeah. I mean, what a great show.
Yeah, it was a wonderful show. A great kickoff to our season 3.
Yes, right? And we're doing so well. Like Rose said, we're going to Hollywood. We're going to Hollywood. We're going to D.C. Maybe Hollywood one day. But we're going to Washington, D.C., you guys, April 9th. Meet the Punk Brats there at the Capitol. If you have any questions about it, give us a call. Our phone number is 512-254-5989. Yeah. So anything else, Rose?
No, I think that just about wraps it all up. You want to shout out the social media?
Oh, yeah.
And the websites?
Yes. Please follow us on all social media platforms. Punk Brats at Facebook, Punk Brats. Instagram is Punk Brats USA. We're also on TikTok, X. Reach out to us. Our email is info@punkbrats.com. And don't when you're done listening to us, don't hang up too quickly, because always listen for our callers. We love our callers at the end of the show. That's it. So,
okay. Well, I guess this is the part where I tell you, see you later, Lisa.
See you later, Rose.
This is Jacqueline from Texas. My question is regarding policies or SOPs that maybe had a negative impact on military kids when you were both overseas, or possibly even when you were stateside. What policies or SOPs had a negative impact on being a military kid that military kids today won't experience, or maybe have it better